Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Norma, today joined by Makone Maja. Let's get into our first news story of today, and I think we're going to take a little bit of a break from speaking about the Government of National Unity to talk about the interesting by-election results we've had around the country. So in the lead-up to the national and provincial government elections, the by-elections were put on hold so that we could focus on the national and provincial elections. But the IEC this week held a number of by-elections around the country, which I think produced some pretty interesting results. Now, a lot of them were in KZN, and there were six in the Mzube municipality in KZN on the KZN South Coast, an area where MK did very well in the last election and has traditionally been sort of an ANC stronghold. The IFP hasn't been very strong there. There were six by-elections at the same time because after a dispute with the ANC, six ANC councillors who were ward councillors defected to MK, and this forced a bunch of by-elections. Now, you'd expect, considering the results in these areas in the national and provincial elections, that MK would pretty easily pick up all of these seats from the ANC, right? Well, that wasn't what happened. MK did, in fact, win its first ward councillor seat in the country. In Ward 11, Mzube municipality, MK won 31% of the vote, beating the IFP by 17 votes. The IFP won 31% of the vote. The ANC, who previously had gotten 57% of the vote in this ward, dropped to 26%. And the EFF had previously gotten 19, dropped to 8%. So, pretty good result for MK there, although not nearly as comfortable as they would have liked. But what was more shocking was there were three wards where, out of the six, where the IFP actually beat both the ANC and MK to win the wards. So there was a ward two where the IFP surged from 7% of the vote to 39% of the vote. MK managed 31% of the vote, and the ANC went down from 79% of the vote to 28%. That is a colossal crash in their vote share. In another ward, the ANC managed to retain it, but they went down from 72% to 48%, with MK reaching about 29% and the IFP 22%. There was another ward, Ward 9, where the IFP managed 45% of the vote, up from 21%. MK managed about 26% of the vote, and the ANC went down from 68% to 24% of the vote. So that's quite a shocking result, because it suggests that MK, if it seeks to disrupt a lot of councils and take over a lot of them in the upcoming municipal election, is going to have to fight a very difficult campaign, because victory is by no means assured. There was another couple of by-elections for different reasons around KZN also, with the IFP doing pretty well in most of them. The IFP lost some ground in Zululand, which is one of their heartland municipalities the IFP has always been strong in, but they still managed to retain the ward. And there was one ward in Newcastle in Amajuba municipality where the DA actually managed to win. It's a very tightly fought ward, which was divided almost evenly between the ANC, IFP, and EFF. MK did not have a candidate for this election, and the DA managed to just slightly boost their votes there, probably through a mix of turnout and also winning over some new voters to win that ward. So that's a big, I think, win for them. Also a big win for the DA, and this is one of the first by-elections we've had to see how the DA is going to perform in 2026's municipal elections. The municipality of Beaufort West, which I believe was controlled by an ANC-PA coalition up till now, was taken outright by the DA. There were three wards that were up for grabs, and the DA managed to win all of them, taking two from the PA and one from the ANC. So, Makone, you know, it's always a little bit dangerous to draw too many conclusions from by-elections. By-elections are very often drawn by, driven by, like, very local concerns, the candidate, all those kind of things. But both the ANC and the PA are probably not going to be too happy with these results. What do you make of this?
Nick, is it fair to say that some of these elections would have been called before the 29th of May and that they were interrupted by having the national election? Okay. Yeah. So I'm wondering, just off the top, how the formation of the GNU affects, if at all, how people will be voting now moving forward on these local government election by-elections, although, of course, there is a difference between municipal elections and national elections. But I still do wonder whether people take that into consideration at all, that if you vote for one party, IFPDA, ANC, you're effectively voting in favor of that GNU one way or another. So, yeah, very interesting to see them. Also, quite amused to see that the ANC and the EFF continue to bleed votes in the KZN region, and by a huge margin there, where you're describing EFF dropping by 10 percentage points and the ANC by 50 percentage points in some of those wards and by-elections. So that's a very interesting outcome for me to observe. Another pattern I'm interested in observing is how the MK, and I think quite interestingly and also favorably for them, have been just converting ANC or former ANC councillors to MK councillors, which then triggers those by-elections and then sees them go on to win some of them. It hasn't worked out well so far, as you've described in some of those instances, but I'm wondering how it'll carry on as these by-elections continue to happen, and whether we will see more of these by-elections being triggered as a result of former ANC councillors defecting to the MK, and whether councillors just simply changing teams, changing shirts from ANC to MK, will have the same effect that essentially Jacob Zuma has had on the election, which is that people have been voting for him as the individual, right? I think that's mostly the case. People are voting for him rather than MK as a party, because there really isn't a party or a structure there yet. But yeah, it seems that people haven't really been rewarding those councillors who simply just switched teams and worn a different shirt, which I've also witnessed myself too. I've seen some of the student politicians that I went to school with who were members of SASCO now sit on like high ranking, or EFF even, sit on high ranking structures of the MK. So I'm interested to see whether that pattern will continue to be harmful to the MK, or whether they will be rewarded for it.
Yeah, so there's been some talk that the MK would be able to take a whole bunch of municipalities across KZN by simply forcing by-elections all over the place and then getting itself into power through those. But I think what these results this week show in these by-elections is that by-elections are a risky business. And just because you did well in the national provincial elections in some of these areas doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win. In many cases, it really seems as though the IFP has benefited a lot more in these wards from the collapse of the ANC than the MK has, which is, especially on the KZN South Coast, which is not an IFP stronghold in particularly, is I think quite interesting to see. So yeah, KZN continues to be one of the most interesting and hectic parts of our country's politics, and definitely I think it's the most competitive space. We shall have to see whether the GNU coalition there holds, because, so far the sounds from the national coalition have been not that encouraging, considering this recent fight between the DA and the ANC over the PA. But yeah, we'll save that discussion, I think, probably for tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit about the MK's electoral court case. So the MK is trying to get the election overturned. They feel like there were lots of irregularities in the election. Now, both McCorner and I actually were observers of the election on election day, and it was definitely, shall we say, not a particularly well-run election. That being said, despite all the problems, I think it was, for the most part, pretty free and fair and pretty representative of how things went. MK disagrees, however, and they've promised to prove it in court, but the court cases seem to be having some problems. For example, MK does not appear to have managed to serve court papers to everyone yet. They claim that there were some mistakes made. For example, court papers were apparently served via email. I'm reading from the News 24 story here. But in the notice of motion, the majority of the email addresses appear to have been incorrect. The address for the state attorney for president was @justice.go.za instead of .gov.za. And the message to the presidency was @presidency.dove.za instead of .gov.za. look, I am not anything close to a legal expert, but Makona, I have a feeling that if you keep making mistakes in the email addresses, your case is probably not being handled by people who are really on the ball.
Agreed. Yikes is all I have to say about this case. I've actually been really looking forward to seeing the evidence from this because, like you said, we were both observers in this. It was my first time. You've got all the experience, Nick, in this. And so having to watch the elections from behind the scenes that closely and seeing how easy it is to make mistakes, but also how difficult it would be to produce evidence of real like election fraud, I've wondered exactly what sort of evidence MK have on them, because they've been luring us in with this rhetoric about machines being manipulated and substantial evidence to come or to be released so that we can all see that some people have stolen this election. And then when I read in that article, at least from that article, they describe the evidence as a bunch of tables with numbers that don't add up. And I saw that happen in my own ward where everyone was watching the ball so closely. I think we had some of the most excellent party agents in my ward, people who were just watching every single ballot paper, every single seal very closely. And even then, like there were still some very, very minor discrepancies. I've wondered how then MK would be able to back up their case, and just to now discover that that's the sort of evidence they have, a bunch of tables with numbers not adding up. How big are those numbers that are not adding up, and the dates of those tables, the timestamps of those tables? Like, the evidence has just not been very persuasive, and I've found it very disappointing. But I also think the remedy they're calling for, which is that the court should declare re-election in 90 days, it's too tall an order. It's also just simply too lazy on the part of the MK. They have to, like you said, go back, pinpoint specific wards, bring about very clear, unequivocal evidence of election fraud instead of just calling for a broad recall of the entire election process, which is just simply not going to happen. But I found them to be very lazy at best in their evidence and also in the remedy that they seek. Way too tall in order for less than convincing evidence, I'm afraid.
You know what I would be fascinated to see is actually what comes out. If there was public polling done right now to show us what people thought of MK's election claims and also how popular MK is in the aftermath of the election, I would not be surprised if they've actually taken a little bit of a hit from some of their own voters. Maybe I'm, you know, being optimistic there, but I do think that when you kind of sort of lazily, half-assedly declare the election the greatest fraud in human history and that actually you won it with 2/3 or whatever their claim was, you kind of, that's a big claim. You actually have to back that one up. And I don't think people appreciate it when they get told something like that. Anyway, it'd be very interesting to see, but I don't think anyone is willing to pay for that right now. Any final thoughts, Makona, before we close up for today?
No, I agree with you. I think they've been the biggest benefactors of the biggest game changers of the election, were very well rewarded. At the same time, I don't want to say they should just be grateful and accept the outcome, but their evidence is not convincing. Just going off of that alone is why we should accept this election result and move forward.
No, exactly. Exactly. I mean, getting 15% from nothing in the space of what, like a year's worth, less than a year's worth of political organization is, it's pretty good going. And, you know, I think if their strategy was better rather than try to play for the whole cake, so to speak, they would actually be able to use this in much the way that the EFF has used their relatively modest electoral showings to their advantage. But both of those parties seem to be in a bit of a funk. So, you know, if the GNU can get its stuff sorted out, and that's still very much an open question, then we might actually see something along the lines of you know, whether the MK, the so-called Progressive Caucus, can actually get its stuff together and come up to be an effective opposition. So far, I think they've not really done a great job of that. Their strategy seems to be a bit sort of floundering and very crude. As I said yesterday, I think it's mostly just been this very like crude racist attack on the GNU. Still, many unanswered questions, and we eagerly await to see what will happen with Ramaphosa's appointments to cabinet. That, I think, is going to be one of the deciding things to see whether the GNU actually goes forward or whether it flounders on the rocks. Anyway, that's all for today. We hope you found the show interesting. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.